Blog Talk Radio. Storybox Audio.
Good evening, and it's 6 p.m. Welcome to Better Be Monsters, the Sunday show. Tonight with Jeff Chodell, author Ronald Feynman, Wayne Johnson, Robert LeFay, and myself. And gentlemen, the week has been notable, hasn't it?
Every week is notable. Every week is worse than the week before.
I'm afraid that's a true statement, Professor Rob.
Yes. You think it can never get worse, but it gets worse. What's the old saying? Cheer up, things can be worse. You cheer up and things get worse.
About the time that you think he's hit the Trump's hit the lowest of any human species, he finds
he
a new way to hit
lower.
A new low.
Yeah,
yes, he does.
Unbelievable.
He's about to lower a death bomb onto Tulsa. I worry
yeah.
for David,
yeah.
but
what,
you know,
what an absolute idiot! What a vain, inglorious idiot! You know that guy is absolutely disgusting.
Inglorious. Well, and then
you know. You know he knows what he's doing. He knows the significance of the Tulsa and the on the anniversary of one of the worst
Absolutely.
Genocide of people in that neighborhood, in that area, that city.
And
he's
not only that,
hold a Trump rally.
His acceptance speech on August 27th in Jacksonville is on the anniversary 60 years ago of a massacre in Jacksonville.
There you go.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
Do you really think Trump is behind those? Do you really think he's aware of those dates?
Oh, yeah.
He may not have been at the time, but he did back off
him.
On the Tulsa, you know, making a day later. That he did do, but I'm sure he did not know before. But his staff should know.
No. They,
well, yeah,
I
staff that's doing
ahead.
It because you know he doesn't know history.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't. But he does say that he thinks he's better than Lincoln. He doesn't think Lincoln was that great because he ended slavery.
Oh my God.
To a black journalist, I mean, was that just absolutely stunning or what? I mean, there are bars, roadhouses through Alabama that cheered for an hour. I mean,
yeah.
God.
Oh, yeah.
Unbelievable.
Jeez.
Only Trump. Only Trump is capable of such absolute nonsense.
And yet I must point out, I just saw that Arkansas in some polls, they show Tom Cotton is not doing well. I hope he loses his seat after what he said. And it looks like Arkansas is in play, and so is Texas. Imagine that.
I think we're going to win the Senate back, you guys. I really do. I think
that's quite obvious we will. And
yeah.
not just barely. I think 7 or 8 seats. A lot of them are in trouble. And Cotton was not one of them. But apparently
good.
He is after his statement about using the military in the United States. My God.
Excuse me, but I mean, if Trump plans on going around right now doing rallies with all of his followers, who's going to be well enough to get out to vote? I mean, really?
He's going off his supporters, yeah.
And he's going to cut off. He's trying to cut off mail voting, so
he'll be
up shit creek without a paddle.
He's not really going to be able to do that. It's already legal in many of the states.
That's true.
He's,
right, exactly.
I'm,
hey, I voted in the primary via by mailing in my ballot.
So did I.
So did Ron.
I have
and
an old
I.
Navy buddy.
I don't want to go to the polls anymore. I don't want to stand in line, you know.
Well, there are a lot of issues that came up this week, gentlemen. I mean, it's not just that. The voting that was suppressed in Georgia, there was.
Oh boy, what a mess Georgia is in. And then the murder of this young man, unnecessary.
Well, yeah, getting shot in the back by cops because you steal a taser. That's a little harsh.
As he's running
yeah.
away, he's not running towards the cop. He's in danger.
No,
he's running away. How can you shoot somebody running away?
Because
well, there's been a lot of murders this week of transgender people as well.
Oh, yeah.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
And now he's taking away transgender health protections.
Yes.
Yes, exactly right. Exactly.
There is a pour on the LGBTQ community. And the trans community is going through a real bad time right now because of this.
Yes. But at the same time, it sounds like from what we gather that he can't hold a cup of water and can't go down a ramp. It may be he really is in bad health now. Maybe there's hope.
What do you mean he can't hold a cup of water? I'm not aware. What are you?
When he was speaking at West Point, he had trouble. He picked up a cup of water with one hand, and then used the other hand to steady his hand. He obviously has some neurological problems, and then he had was very delicate going down the ramp from the stage to the ground. And they say they think it's a sign of health issues that he's not willing to tell us about. And he did go to Walter Reed last year for a while without explanation. So I have a feeling he has a health issue.
Gwen, I saw a little bit of a video clip of him giving his speech at West Point. And when he went to pick up the glass to take a drink of water in the middle of his speech, he had to bring up his left hand to help support it. It was almost like a Parkinson kind of a shake.
Yes.
Wow.
So I've been saying to some people that this is really not funny, that I say if he doesn't last beyond July 5th, then Mike Pence will have the shorter term than James A. Garfield.
Well, far be it for me to just argue with you on that fact, Professor. You are the man.
It's only 7 months to go, and 6.5 months is what Garfield had before he died, in 1881.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of stuff going on out there, gentlemen, they're blaming the protesters for any rise in the coronavirus, and that's just bullshit.
Oh, that's
bullshit, too. Yeah, they're more protected, really, than the Republican hoot nannies that are going on all over the place, and people are under the impression that COVID is over.
Yeah, it's not.
Thanks to Trump and his nonsense. He's never recognized it from day one, and it's going to cost him. At the polls.
I wish it would cost him.
At the very least, at the polls.
I'm already,
Yeah.
I still want Nancy Pelosi to be president for a few months.
I don't understand why she hasn't gathered the sergeant at arms and gone up there. He's grossly incompetent. He's costing us lives. He's costing us the economy. He's costing us a lot of valid points right now that anybody else. He needs to be removed, and the goddamn Republicans are saying that they're the only ones that can do it because they're the ones that have a power in the Senate to make that happen.
Mike has to make it happen under the 25th Amendment. Mike Pence and a majority of the cabinet, but the cabinet members are also crooked. They all face indictments, so they don't want to do anything. And Mike Pence has no cojones, a Spanish word. You know what the word is in English.
Yeah, Wetterbos. Wetterbos. Like, hey,
Wetterbos.
That's what we're talking about.
Yes.
Gentlemen,
meanwhile, we have these two lynchings in California, of all places, that we learned about this week. That's crazy,
Is it a real lynching, or was it just fake?
No, they were actual lynchings, like hanging from a tree.
Yeah.
Were they real bodies?
Though, not Alabama.
They were real bodies, real people that got lynched.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Where? You're kidding me. I had no idea.
Oh, when? Yes.
To the last week of the reported. Not in the main, it's in the rural part of California, I think. It's not, it's in the desert.
Yeah.
It's not the major cities, but there's a lot of areas of California, like Kevin McCarthy country, that's really very right wing and extreme, So.
Well, they barely got any news play at all. Yeah, give me a little moment here, a little time. Let me tell you a personal story I had. I was going through the second part of my training in San Diego, and of course, the beautiful Balboa Park. I used to go there on Sundays just because I'm 3,000 miles from home and I'm walking around.
That's the point.
And I hear this crowd and stuff, and I hear some excitement, and I walk up. This was at the early in the 70s when people had long hair. I'm in the military. My hair is short. So here was in this theater and around these neo-Nazis, brown shirts, riot sticks, swastikas on their shoulders, making a ring, theatering around with the speaker in the middle, spouting all this Nazi racist bullshit propaganda. And there were people on the outside you know, jeering and making fun and shouting back at the speaker. And I'm like, my God, what the hell have I walked into? And then I realized, wait a minute, all the short-haired people are getting hollered at, and I'm on the outside with short hair. I need to get my ass out of here. But I walked upon a Nazi rally, but I had the good sense to get the hell out of there.
Wow.
I did not want to be mistaken for one of the skinheads.
Funny stuff goes on in Cali. I know that. I mean, who of us doesn't remember the Kate LaBianca murders and all of that? But there's a lot of cultism.
One out of every eight Americans lives in California, so they have more hate groups and more racists as a group because they're 40 million out of 320 than any other state, you know?
Yeah. Well, I can definitely say, because I looked into it years later and stuff, there is a lot of Klan and neo-Nazi groups down there in that Southern California, because what it is, it's, you know, the problem is they're going out after the Mexicans. You know, those Mexicans invaded their territory. They're taking the white man's jobs. They're mud people.
Yeah, how many white men do you know want to work on a farm all day in the conditions that the immigrants work
Thank
in?
Thank you.
Good point.
You know, you're absolutely right. You are absolutely right.
It's also against Asian Americans as well, Japanese, Chinese, Vietnamese as well, you know. Yeah.
Wait a minute. We have 2 minutes talking. I didn't understand a word. One at a time, please.
So I was saying that they're also anti-Asian down there with Japanese, Korean, Vietnamese, Korean, Chinese.
That's more San Francisco. That's more San Francisco.
Yeah.
Oh, is it?
Up there. Yeah.
Lisa, what were you saying? I'm sorry, Hobbit. Shit.
Yeah.
No, I was just saying that, you know, everyone complains they're taking jobs, but it's mostly they get, you know, they're producing our food. They're doing the jobs that, you know, Americans would never be willing to do, most of them.
You're absolutely correct.
And they're working extra line hours.
And while we're on kind of in a similar vein, you know, they still have the detention camps. There's still all these children locked up, and we're not even really hearing about that. And, you know, everyone is, you know, posting about it on Facebook and, oh, this is so terrible. But nobody is actually, as far as I can tell, actually doing anything about it.
Because the government does, the executive branch, there's not much Congress can do other than have investigations. But they can't make policies, the cabinet members do.
Yeah, no, we can't rely on legislation and elected officials to do anything. It's you know, the last 2 weeks should have taught more people that, you know, the people need to organize and people need to take action, because we can't count on our legislation and our, you know, elected officials to actually do anything.
That's true.
I say there needs to be crimes against humanity, just like there was at Nuremberg, for those who were participatory, those who came up with the idea of someone trying to come up to the border asking legally for asylum, and then all of a sudden their children are taken from them. They're thrown in jail. What? The parents are separated from them. And, you know, as far as that is no different than Nazi Germany. And
it's a war crime under a different banner.
There needs to be retribution for this.
It's a war crime, let's face it. It's a war crime, even though there's no war.
I think I get what Hobbit is saying.
Yes.
What she's saying is people who've gotten into the streets are still in the streets all over this country, and policies are getting changed city by city, state by state. What she's suggesting is, and I see her point, that people need to get into those camps and surround those camps and say enough is enough and free those kids. It's been done before in this country.
And I agree with her. Absolutely.
Trump in there and leg irons. That's what I see.
Three of them, I noticed.
I say we string them up.
But remember, Trump
is
a symptom, not the disease. Trump is a symptom, not the disease.
Getting rid of Trump
will certainly do some good, but it's only going to get us so far. It's still going to leave the systems in place that created him and the cultural attitudes that created him. So we address those things. Getting rid of Trump is only going to get us so far.
I agree with you. He's the poster child for the root of the evil and the problems that stigma.
But it is a very needed step in the correct direction.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's got to be. Mm-hmm.
And then start off with blocking the head off the snake or the dragon, and then work your way down.
Well, I understand that two of the camps in the southeast that are holding children included have been struck with COVID. So what's happening there? What's happening to those? There's no news on this. And legislators are so wrapped up in all of the other stuff that is going on in front of them. You know, Hobbit's right. What's happening with these kids? What's happening in these camps? You know, that's a frightening thought.
And look at how long it's been going on.
Yeah.
You know, we need to learn from these last few weeks of things that have been going on that, you know, protesting is powerful. It does have an effect. It doesn't stop in the street. You know, there's a lot of places where the demonstrations, the protesting is continuing until
change
is
made.
Until a demand is met. You know, they say either, you know, like here in Portland, Maine, you know, leaders want to meet with the police chief. They want to meet with city officials. And, you know, they're putting out statements and all that, but they're not actually sitting down at the table. And, you know, so the demonstrations, you know, things are continuing. And, you know, addressing school boards, you know, it's very multifaceted, but a lot of actual real action is coming out of the protests. And that's kind of what one of the things that makes this round of protesting so different.
As
and
Maine goes, so should the nation.
It.
Well, except in 1936, you know the famous joke.
It's happening in a lot of places.
In 1936, it said, as Maine goes, so goes Vermont. And that's the only two states Alf Landon won against Franklin D. Roosevelt.
But these are different times.
I know, I'm just joking, but as Maine goes, so goes Vermont and nobody else.
Time.
1936.
Yeah.
But we need to
now they're both Democratic states. Now Republican,
excuse me.
Go ahead,
we need to take what we're learning from these and apply it in other areas.
Yeah.
Yes.
To address some of these other issues. And, you know, and it's funny, though, it really, you know, we think we're dealing with all these different issues and they're all really just the same problem is really what it comes down to. But it is going to take a multifaceted approach to address.
Yeah, right now we've got a legislature and states and state houses, and it's always been true that, you know, from the ground up, things do change swifter. So at this point, with all this momentum with protest in the streets, people are very hyper aware on a local level. And this is the time to take advantage of that.
I'm hoping that people start to realize that. I'm sorry to interrupt, Gwen.
Oh, no.
I'm hoping that people will realize that the power is with the people. You know, the people have the power. We just haven't been exercising it. And we haven't, you know, we are fully capable of shifting that balance of power. And I think we're, as a country, like, we're starting to realize that.
Yeah. Even the journos and the spin heads. I mean, I was shocked at how quickly a couple of months ago Anderson Cooper just absolutely shifted back into like street gear at that desk, started asking all the right questions of the right people. I was extraordinarily impressed with him because at the desk I've never really bothered. He seems to do some kind of party line. And then all of a sudden he's asking all the questions and getting people on and giving them. I mean, he did about 20 minutes the other night with Cornel West. Y'all are familiar with Dr. West, right? Brother Cornel, you know, he's an eloquent speaker, and I've always found his line of thought to be valuable, very valuable. And he brought Cooper to tears, you know. I mean, geez. Of course, Cooper's also a new dad who's pretty scared right now, too. So, you know, all things come into play. But it's amazing how I've seen Rachel Maddow get angry, you know, show her emotion in the last month or so a couple of times where she never would have before, you know?
Yeah.
She gets, you know, snarky, but she never shows anger.
These are trying times, there's no doubt.
We've reached a critical point. You know, we've reached the tipping point, really.
Yeah.
We have.
Which we needed to. We needed to, and it's a good thing. There's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of good things happening as a result,
yes,
for sure.
Well, people are really showing their asses, but they're also now at this time with everything else being revealed, it's been pushed into a gear higher because of COVID. And that's still a very real phenomenon, you know, thing that is happening.
Yeah, that's not yesterday's news. That's very relevant today still, and will be for another year at least. That's until they get a vaccine made. They're working
on
that.
If the vaccine works.
If it works, that's the big question, yeah.
And also, we have a lot of anti-vaxxers, and I know some, they won't take it, so that's another problem, you know.
Well.
But how much, I mean, what percentage of the population are anti-vaxxers?
Some people think 1/4, 25%. I hope
it's
not.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Although there are, I would expect, I don't know for sure.
Say
I would
what, 15?
Expect there's probably conspiracy theories about, you know, a Corona's vaccine that is, you know, going to be injecting them with, you know.
Awesome.
I don't
You're
even know what.
You're also dealing
like
with a group that's all the vapor trails from jet engines calling them the chemtrails, right? The mind-bending chemtrails.
Where does this shit come from? Yeah. Honest to God.
Somebody can make it up, and it's just, you know, I have
and
been.
Idiots circulate it like mad. They believe in it. They actually believe in it, and
they
put it all over the place. It's insane.
Yeah, so,
but, you know, there's not a lot of rationality out there today.
Well, Jack, come on. I mean, I actually believe there are such things as UFOs. I mean, it's not a conspiracy to me.
Well, I agree, but I don't equate UFOs with vaccines at all. Not even close.
Me either. I don't either.
And it doesn't make you a kook because you believe in the possibility of extraterrestrial beings. With the universe as big as they say it is, there's got to be somebody else out there besides just human beings.
Yeah, but imagine those extraterrestrials looking at what's going on and saying, what the hell is wrong with Earth?
Yeah, they would be too.
I saw a little political cartoon. And it said, you know, when extraterrestrials go by Earth, they roll up their windows and go make a steer clear path around it, like a bad neighborhood.
Yeah, there's a quarantine out. Yeah, I do think there's a bit of a quarantine, actually. But there will be a lot of ups and downs in this and that, getting through the COVID end of all of this. And the
so
truth
here's a question.
Go ahead.
Sorry. Nope. Sorry. You go ahead.
No, I lost it. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Impulse control problem. You know, a question that's really been, you know, I've been thinking about a lot this week is there are other countries who have managed to keep the coronavirus, you know, keep the damage limited and
that's true.
The numbers down. And
we're the worst in the world, yes.
But we don't, and we do this with education, we do this, you know, across the realm. Like, we have examples of in the world of things that work for things, but we don't look to them at all and learn from it.
Because Republicans think we are perfect and better than the whole rest of the world.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, it's all a failure of our leadership right now with this current administration.
Well,
look at our education system has been for quite some time now. And
instead of
looking and seeing what other countries are doing and saying, oh, wow, well, this works. This is more cost effective and more successful. You know, we act as if, you know, we're the only country on the planet and everything. You know, we don't learn from history and we don't learn from the rest of the world.
You said a mouthful. That's very true, Hobbit. Good job. We need to
Thank
do better.
You.
Yep.
We do need to do better.
Well, if we're going to survive it, we do. We absolutely do. But one of the things that's been brought up time and time again in other countries, too, while it's not completely foolproof, it sure does bring it all into better numbers. Of course, the countries that are doing better, people are maintaining a quarantine atmosphere as much as they can. Mm-hmm. And those who have to be out are actually, you know, wearing masks and doing social distancing. And that's how it's getting, you know, certain countries are getting back together that way. And that,
and even New York
finally
is down. It's not going up. New York is actually doing very well right now.
Good.
Yeah, but I know New Yorkers who are afraid to go back to work right now because they've been out a couple of days when they've had to go out, and they see that a majority of the people on the street are still not practicing safe masking and social distancing, which is driving Cuomo up a wall. For the last couple of days, he's been kind of screaming about it. But people, you know, they love a party. They build it right up again.
Well, they don't believe in sacrifice like we had during World War II, where people did sacrifice.
Good
on
point.
The front, yeah.
Good point. And that's so needed today, especially. People have got to get smart, and they've got to come to their senses, and there's a lot of nonsense out there, and that shit's got to come to a close.
True, but how many people want to sacrifice their economy, you know? That's what they're all worried about mainly.
That's the problem.
We're too
consumed with the economy.
Yeah, yeah.
So let's take that argument that, yes, the economy is the most important thing. Isn't it going to cause the economy more damage?
Yes,
and
it is.
More long-term problems if this thing, which it is, gets dragged out and dragged out. If we had just done what we needed to do, gotten the numbers under control, kept them, you know, kept things under control for long enough instead of pushing to reopen, I believe it's going to cause much more economic damage than it would if we had just battened down the hatches.
I want
it
now.
It's
going to make it a long-term problem. You're right.
That's a good point.
I want it now. It's all it's going to do is prolong it. You're right.
Well, the only one who is truly the only ones who have wanted it now are those who are sitting in the catbird seat, who are afraid, so afraid of losing it, and they've created such a calamity that it's crazy. And it's not just Trump here and the Republicans, but in Italy, some of the government has been just as bad as our government has been, and it's caused them to step back again. Of course, if you go to China, they can lock their people down in a minute's notice, and still in all, they went back doing social distancing and masking. And they're coming up with new cases, but this time outside the provinces where it was located in, and now it's in Beijing, you know. Okay, and Iraq, a lot of the mullahs and stuff, they've lost a few people over there in the government because it infected the government. Of course, they can always find somebody to replace them easily enough, but...
they were slow to react, too, and it's cost them.
Yeah, yeah, look at Brazil, how bad Brazil is off.
Oh, my.
Second
yeah,
worst,
I was just thinking that.
Yeah, and it's gone into the indigenous people along the Amazon.
He doesn't care, Bolsonaro. He doesn't care about them. He persecutes them anyway, you know.
Yeah.
It's true. What you're saying is true. So, so it's going to go on until we, you know, and then I was floored because there was some fellow in, I don't know if it was Oregon or California, but some fellow who caught COVID and went in and had all of this medical treatment and then came out and he's clean of it, yet he got stuck with over $1 million worth of medical bills.
But most of people would have to pay.
Actually, he did. Well, I mean, that is happening to people, but no, actually, it was that bill was covered.
Yes.
Yes, I thought.
And he was feeling guilty. He was feeling guilty that, you know, which is horrible. Yeah.
Well, why should there be such profiteering in healthcare? You know, everybody's got to make a profit
Bingo.
To keep the buildings going. But for God's sakes, there's got to be a limit too. You can't have unlimited profit all the time. It's insane.
Yeah.
That's the great capitalistic system, right?
Yeah, piss on it.
That's what happens when you tie profit and the care of people.
That's right.
That's right.
Some things belong distant and separate, not together, not meshed together, forced together because of greed. That's insane.
I mean, most of our hospitals are for profit. Like, what does that tell you about this society?
Well, it means we're consumed with materialism, and that's bad.
Well, I was going to say, when I think of the biggest tragedies that have come down in recent years is schools for profit. This is what
oh, my God, yeah.
Elementary schools on.
Mm-hmm.
Prisons for profit.
That's even worse.
Pay to, campaign contribution to this judge, right? Next thing you know, he's loading up your jails, your revenue, with some young black kid off the street.
Jesus.
And, of course,
yep.
The medical industry for profit. These
mm-hmm.
are the three travesties going on in our country right now that should not be free enterprise.
True.
Okay,
I
so
agree.
how do we turn that around? What do we do about it?
Outlaw.
What state was it? Someone recently, there was a state, maybe it was California, that was
they shut down
they passed
the
laws to shut down the for-profit prisons.
Prisons, yes, it was Cali. They did.
Well,
they ought to do that with Texas. That state is littered with them. They're everywhere.
Yeah,
all of our
really.
Private and the for-profit schools failed miserably. All it was bringing the profit. They lied about it. When I was out in Columbus, they had for-profit schools running right next to the others, and basically they falsified the amount of students they had. They falsified the grades that their students were getting. And matter of fact, I was flying and talking with someone from the Board of Education, a lawyer who was representing the Board of Education within the Board of Education, and they were suing that for-profit school for I forget how many tens of millions of dollars because they didn't deliver, they falsified their records, and they're trying to get their damn money back from that private company.
Well,
that's
part of that economic setup of Milton Friedman's. But you know, that's why Bessie DeVos has been pushing it because not only is it for profit,
oh, she's
schools,
trying to line pockets, corporate pockets through
exactly.
education is
Good
what
point.
She's doing.
Yep.
And a lot
yeah.
of the charter schools that are designated as nonprofit, there are workarounds that they can technically be a nonprofit. But the money actually gets funneled back. They're actually
sure.
owned by a corporation.
Yep.
Yeah, and about those educational standards in a lot of these schools, this was also part of Uncle Milty's plan, was to educate them the way you want them educated for service
mm-hmm.
industry.
Brainwash them with capitalistic
yeah.
propaganda.
Yeah, well, and to keep
also
them
belief
in
the idea of creationism instead of science.
Well, that's right. And
yeah.
what was it, Dover, Pennsylvania? Professor, I'm sorry. You and I spoke about the teachers losing tenure. And the example was that I gave you was in Dover, Pennsylvania. It was a case.
Yes.
Religious Christians, you know, fundamentalists, got on the school board, and then they were wanting to demand that teachers teach intelligent design. Instead of evolution.
Mm-hmm.
And if you didn't teach intelligent design, they were going to see you fired. That went to court. That went to the Supreme Court. Or the Supreme Court in Pennsylvania. And when the judge looked at it and ruled at it, he said, this is nothing more than religious propaganda.
Absolutely.
And he came down hard on the school board members who were lying under oath, good Christians lying under the oath with their hand on the Bible, about what they had done, and the sole science teacher who refused to do it, who brought the case, she had tenure, won. And the next thing you know, the next election, all those that were of these fundamentalist Christians were thrown off the board, except for one, only because he wasn't up for re-election.
Yep.
That's great,
that's
yeah.
That's the kind of stuff that happens.
But we're
so,
dependent on judges now, and judges are, you know, as more and more conservative
yes, and
judges
to
get
Trump.
Appointed.
And we have a number of crucial cases to be decided in the next 2 weeks by the Supreme Court that everybody's worried about. Is Roberts going to join the liberals, or is he going to join with the conservatives? His is going to be the swing vote.
Yeah, boy,
and
that's
of course they're not
scary.
Supposed to be partisan, but as
but,
we all know, they
well,
are.
Well, they have been for years. I think since the Bush days, maybe even before, actually since Nixon. You know,
yes.
they all this crap about strict constructionist judges and all that bullshit that used to circulate then is still prevalent in right-wing thought.
If the founding fathers are gone and we don't do anything since then, we don't modernize anything.
Right, right.
That's their belief.
Yeah, those people are
sick.
Well,
this is why it makes it even more important that we don't rely on the court system. We don't rely on politicians to make changes, you know?
But,
because we can't rely on those. Right?
But on the
no,
Supreme
that's
Court,
true.
Next year, I think we're going to get two retirements, Breyer and Ginsburg, and we need a Democratic president to pick the replacement. Otherwise,
we
the
sure
Supreme
do.
Court's gone forever.
That's right.
But
that's
if we don't, off. Unless we turn the Senate's going to block anyone, even if we do, even if Biden does get elected, which I'm not.
That's why
we've
got to
have
that
Senate
will.
Along with electing
right.
Biden. We've got to do both. It's a hand-in-glove kind of thing. We've got to have both.
Yeah. It's true. It's true. At this point, unless somebody just marshals and walks in there and puts an end on, you know. Did I just say that? Okay, boys, go on by me.
Well, that won't be happening. That won't
gonna,
be happening.
I don't think that's going to happen. If that was going to happen, it would have happened already.
Yeah, could be.
Probably so, but that just goes to show you how many really good, kind people are just sick and tired of the whole thing, and enough so that being cloistered for a month or so within their homes and everything and watching it, all of this going with an evil eye going through the lens of news, get out in the streets and say enough is friggin' enough. We've had enough.
I've been staying home all the time, and for the very first time yesterday, I put on a mask and went outside. I had to get a haircut. I was starting to look like a bloody beetle. You know,
I
it's just so damn
haircut.
Long.
Yeah.
So I went out and got a haircut, and now it's not in my eyes anymore, and my mask is safe and secure, and I'll use it again when I have to, you know.
Well, Jack, I got my haircut yesterday, too, also. So, yeah, I had a hair. I was looking like, oh, this is my hairstyle back in the 70s.
Yeah.
You know, down on my neck, over my ears.
You guys kill
my
me.
My face has changed. It doesn't look as good as it did back then.
Yep.
You guys kill me. Well, I don't have a jag, so. But I've been cutting my own hair. Damn. Yeah, it's rugged out there. And people have had enough, and they're still in the streets. Bless them. They are
Thank
still
God.
In the streets. I mean, they are people are just not – and everybody should give a round of applause to Hobbit because she's been to three different protests in the last
month. Well done,
month.
Hobbit.
Good. I am. Yeah.
Very
Absolutely.
Good.
Absolutely. Congratulations.
I'm proud of you. You're a good citizen, Hobbit. Good job.
Right.
Keep it up.
I do my best.
You do. That's great, and we're appreciative of it.
Well, and they're not over, and it doesn't stop there either.
No,
you know?
Right.
No, right.
That's one example of many that we can use to force change. Not force, but to will change upon the country, which is so badly in need of it.
Oh, absolutely.
Say,
I mean, I've been worried that the numbers were going to go up from the demonstrations, but, you know, I was looking at a map today, and what I experienced at all the protests, people were wearing their masks. I mean, you could only distance so much, but
yeah,
people
right.
were being very conscientious, you know, and there were, it was really pretty amazing. You know, there were groups with wagons handing out food and snacks and masks
and
sanitizer
yeah.
to people for free.
Great. Great.
You know, people donated or they were just doing it on themselves. You know, there were clergy. What we were doing is we did a white wall. So we'd have a line of white people in the front and the back, and also watching all the side streets at every intersection.
Mm-hmm.
And we had clergy walking with them, and
that's a good thing.
That'll
convince some of the fundamentalists.
So
yeah, good point.
It's a lot of, it's white people are starting to, a lot of white people are stepping up.
That's right.
Yeah,
and they're going out there, and that's what's different about these protests. I don't know. I live in the whitest state in the universe now, but, it's primarily been, white people and letting, the people of color are taking the lead,
Well, I'll
yes.
say, in
and,
Annapolis,
but we have to do that on a daily basis. We have to do that
in
on
Annapolis,
a daily basis.
In Annapolis, we've had 3 Black Lives Matter assemblies marching through the streets, all very peaceful, all very respectful. The police were very, as they should be, just there to stop traffic and things like this. And that's one thing I can take a lot of pride in when I'm here in Annapolis, the marches that I've seen is it is very diverse, multicultural, because we also have a Latino population.
Mm-hmm.
We have large enough Black population. It's a well mix of it all. And there were white people, who were also saying, my conscience tells me I need to be here to support my fellow citizens, my brother man.
Yeah, great.
Right. So
and I was very proud.
When you're walking down the street and you
town.
See a situation, you need to stop. And
step up, yeah.
And make sure things are okay. There was a situation a week or so ago. It was during a protest, but it was off on a side street. There was a Black youth sitting on the sidewalk. His phone had gone dead. He was just waiting for friends. And this white couple came out and went up to a cop and started pointing at the kid going,
oh.
That's him. That's him. That's him. And
yeah.
The cop started moving over to him. And, and the friend who was telling the story, there were 2 or 3 of them who were kind of, watching the perimeter, saw what was happening. And they went over and they just sat down with him. They're like, hey, can we sit with you?
Good
and he's
job.
Like, yeah,
yep.
I'm waiting for my friends. You know what happened? The cop went away. When you see something, it can't just be during protests. We have to keep an eye out on this stuff every day.
We do.
You've
got to go the extra mile, and many of us are failing to do that. So this is a word of the wise and a word of warning. We've got to take an active role. We can't just sit by and let things happen.
I like what I've just heard. That's right. There were people who turned it upon themselves, saw the situation, and then defused it by just simply sitting down next to him, saying,
right.
"I'm giving
him the
order."
I have another story for you.
Go ahead.
So I went to the protest in Augusta at the state capitol, and actually, the paramedics who came for a medical emergency were more, souped up than the police. The police were really friendly and mellow before the protests, and I was like, "Well, this is a nice change," and before the protest, they were, showing people into lots, oh, yeah, you can park here. And they were all nicey-nice during the protest, everything. And you know what happened after? They had all the cars towed from the lots where they were telling people to park and leaving people stranded there.
Oh, my God. That's pathetic.
Well, they've logged
yep,
an official.
And I'm getting...
Go ahead.
Nope.
They launched an official investigation into the thing that happened at Lafayette Square with the president. And they are planning, with a few outstanding members of the there's a lot of public figures that are going to be there for a new protest at Lafayette Square. I don't know if that's happening this evening or tomorrow evening, but there's one scheduled, and there are going to be a lot of people out of all communities and politics there.
Right.
Good.
Yeah.
And
as far as
the
general
Yeah.
As far as the general bespeaking himself and saying, you know, I was wrong and all of that, fine and well for him to do such a thing, but he should be doing more. He should be stepping up and saying, I was wrong,
well,
and
he
needs to
have
launch
done it in the first place.
I agree,
right.
But let's hope that he will do more and he will not stop at just that. You know, that what they did to those protesters in Lafayette Square was absolutely insane. And that terrible Bill Barr, the worst attorney general in history, the lawless Bill Barr, he was right in the crowd there, right in with the president marching over the church.
So was Ivanka and Jared.
What a bunch of phonies.
And Ivanka has the Bible in her purse.
Oh, her $1,500 purse. I
yes,
can't stand her either, any of the Trump family. I can't
anybody
stand
anybody be worse than that? Oh, my gosh.
I can't.
Hear me, Jack.
I was going to say, let me elaborate on this here.
It costs a lot more than $1,500.
Well, I heard it was quoted at $1,500, and I thought it's typical ridiculous accessory handbag of $1,500. She really needs that, doesn't she?
The Barr and who's the new spokeswoman for him after
Kelly McEnany.
Oh, she's terrible.
That's McEnany,
what a bimbo.
Right.
Looks like Ivanka.
Wait a minute. We're in agreement. See, both of them were on all the news agencies saying, no, there was no chemical. There was no chemical.
Yeah,
no, we didn't do any of that. The Secret Service has come out and said, yes, we use chemical pepper spray.
Yeah.
Pepper spray.
Well,
is,
obviously,
chemical
there were people, I mean, there's video and photos of it happening and people getting injured by it.
Well, Kaylee is blind in many ways.
Yeah,
the
this
new Republican line is the new Republican line is: are you going to believe your lying eyes? I mean,
yeah.
But people don't believe
it. We're seeing once again the book 1984 with the newspeak.
Yep.
Yep.
Is actually now becoming a standard reality.
That's
out
true.
Of
that's sad.
Yeah.
And it astounds me, people believe this stuff. You know, I was looking at a comment thread the other day, and these people were arguing, you know, the elderly man that got pushed down by the police. And actually,
oh, yeah.
The only one.
That was terrible.
They were saying that he had attacked, if you watched the video, you would see that that man was attacking the police, and then he tripped and fell. And
oh, what
like,
a bunch of
yeah,
bullshit.
Yeah, that, thank you. Another perfect example of New Orwellian bullshit.
Bullshit, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so,
you
I mean, we can't fight that. You can't fight people's beliefs.
Yeah, and
you
what
know?
Kind of guy, I don't care what age you are, you're not going to trip on purpose and fall and injure yourself and bleed
give
from the ear.
Yourself a traumatic brain injury.
Yeah, I know, it's
yeah,
insane.
Yeah.
Absolutely, that is such bullshit. I can't believe people are capable of coming up with such bullshit. But I guess you got to be far right in your mind to do that stuff.
But
well, that's
like
what it is. They're trying to cover their own ass because they know that basically that atrocity committed to that 75-year-old man who might not recover, well, at 75 and a brain injury, he's really not going to recover fully. So now we're talking about a pretty good lawsuit against the city of Buffalo.
He's really a very nice man. He's also, I think, a homeless guy.
He's a Catholic activist.
Yes, he's a Catholic activist.
Well, he has a heart.
He has a soul and
morals.
Yes.
Gentlemen, he's already said that he's not going to bring a lawsuit against the police. He doesn't, you know, and everybody's trying to tell him, you know, you need to do this, honey, you know, for country.
I
not
hope some advocacy
him,
group will
others.
Do that for him.
Well, thank you, Jack. There needs to be others to step up and saying, this is an atrocity. You are going to be accountable for what your actions and you did. And you did it under the name of the city of Buffalo.
Yep.
Buffalo, get your act in order, purge these people, start better training of your officers. In the meantime, though, this is going to cost you.
You know what really sucks, in my opinion, is the fact that they had a really decent chief of police in Atlanta. She was trying to keep order and fairness going on. She wanted the protesters to be given their due, but she wanted to make sure that there wasn't going to be any violence. And she tried to harness her police as protectors for them.
And she just resigned.
Yeah, because this cop went and she took it as her responsibility on her watch, and she said, I can't go further.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I have no credibility when one of my officers will do that, shoot somebody in the back like that.
Right.
She is a woman of character, no doubt about it.
Yeah. Queer woman.
Well, the thing is there's also, too, there's been a big movement, and an underlying thing, that a lot of the Klansmen and the neo-Nazis have been applying
for
these police jobs.
Yeah,
they have infiltrated the police forces.
Yeah.
You know, of all these areas, especially in the South, is what I'm referring to. And even if you don't officially belong to these organizations and other places, well, Delaware has become horrendous. Mid-Atlantic Delaware.
Look at Minneapolis. I mean, you wouldn't expect it in Minneapolis. I wouldn't know, but there it is.
They're everywhere. Yeah. They're everywhere, even in spots you can't imagine they're being there.
It's the police culture.
It is. That's right. Good point.
And they actually escalate. You know, there's been over 600 videos of police brutality from the last couple weeks, and the police are escalating situations. I mean, I saw it myself in the street.
Yeah.
Well,
that's
neither protecting nor serving.
The protesters were peaceful, the situation that I saw, there was so.
This is 35 years of Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, all this hate speech that has been permeated, propagandized on a daily basis.
Yep.
And it's brainwashing. And now you have these. I'm a conservative. I want to make sure, you know, I want to get this country straight. I'm going to go into a police force. And this is now our result.
Well, yeah, and Trump is increasingly militarizing, you know.
Yes, and militarizing.
I mean, we're using tear gas against our own people.
I know.
Well, it's not the first time. And listen,
Nixon did it too.
Obama let him use the sound guns against Occupy. So, hey, you know, come on. It's become SOP, and it's got to stop. It's got to be reversed. You know, that's horrifying to have sound guns bombed at you. People lost their hearing for weeks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just, and it's become a kind of a standard. It comes in whenever there's, you know, look at how many places Occupy was. Well, and look at but it's not working now, is it? People are not putting up with it now, are they? I mean, it's not just little groups. This is a majority of people that have come out.
I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore. That's the famous line from the movie.
Yeah, well, people are... they're keeping it up. And you've seen that situation in Seattle? Somebody I speak to every week is working remotely for the glass company from her home, and right where that police station is that they vacated, where it's opened up and everything, the main thoroughfare there for the protesters, she lives two buildings down. And she's the people in the buildings there, too, have set up little tables outside of water and food and medical for these protesters. The whole damn city is pulling together, and those who don't either go in and shut their doors or they get the hell out.
Right. So, and the thing is this is not the first time we've seen that, because the Black Panthers in Oakland, California, they got tarred cops coming in and just basically exterminating them, the atrocities because of the black community. They said, don't bother coming in here. We'll take care of running our own area here. We will be our own police force. Of course, this was Governor Ronald Reagan's time, and we can't have all these black people running around with guns in the street. Well, I'm sorry, sir, the Second Amendment here says you can't. Well, we're going to pass the most restrictive gun laws. Yes, NRA, Ronald Reagan passed the most restrictive gun laws of any state at that time period.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's because
to say that, conservatives don't want to hear that.
Right.
The Panthers the Panthers walked into the State House in San Francisco with rifles on their shoulders. Don't you remember?
Yeah.
I was a little girl, and I can remember seeing that on the news, black and white film, and there was quite a reaction in my Florida room, and I can remember turning around and telling my stepfather he was more frightening than those guys ever thought of being. You know, when you see
the militia going into Wisconsin and Michigan with their AK-47s, their AR-15s.
Oh, big tough
bazookas.
Guys with guns. Tough guys.
Right.
What a bunch of wimps.
I don't see. If I was the governor of those states, I'd have the SWAT team stationed in the buildings. As soon as one stepped up with his rifle, I'd take him down right there with the order, everybody else, drop your guns. You know, that laser beads on your forehead right now. You make the decision. I didn't that shit like that, but then again, I might be wrong.
Jesus. Well, the truth is that we've still got COVID to deal with. We have, it's just up and everything is up for grabs right now. And who knows what the next move is going to be. I do think that this planned protest at Lafayette Square, again, with all of these notables, will bring some kind of an action. I'm not sure what kind. But we are at the end of the hour, guys.
Final statement tonight. Yeah, it was a great show. I'd like to see, with all these protests and the people in the street, I wanted to see all kinds of registration to vote forms being handed out and collecting them right then and there. Get yourself registered.
Idea.
Get yourself out and vote. Take the party from within to your view.
Good point. Well, Hobbit, it was great to hear from you again. I hope you'll join us again and again. You're an intelligent person, and I love hearing what you have to say. So all the best to you.
Yes,
and,
I agree.
Stay healthy, everybody, okay? And keep pushing forward, everybody. That's all I can tell you right now.
And look at all the good that's happening, not just the bad.
That's right.
That's right. Very
good
well stated. Professor Ron, always a pleasure, sir.
Yep.
Absolutely. I just love this show, and I love all the people on it.
Great.
Well, thank you.
Gwen, thank you very much.
And everybody, please stay safe and stay well this week. And keep your ears pricked up, you know. Keep your eyes focused on what's happening. I know it's not great to look at the news too much. But don't get out of touch. Don't let it get away from you. Understand what's going on. And I'm saying that to everybody listening in. We had a couple of callers that did try to call in today, but I didn't think it would be a good idea. I'm doing Jack's rules. Jack says only
well,
so many.
Well, you get too many people involved. I don't want to disinclude callers, but they're important. But, you know, when we have 10, 15,000 regulars, that's an exaggeration, but that's too much. That's way too much. It's too big of a bench. So everybody keep pushing forward. Read the Progressive Professor and the Saturday Afternoon Post and see what
Thank
we
you.
Write as well as what we say.
And Minds and Times of F. Wayne Johnson.
Okay.
Good night,
gentlemen.
And
Hobbit, thank you so much
Thanks,
for
Hobbit.
Joining
gentlemen
me.
Gentlemen and
evening.
Hobbit, really?
Well, gentlemen and ladies.
And I would suggest as we leave, pay attention to the Supreme Court. We're going to have some very important decisions. I hope they go the right way this
week. I hope so, too. The correct way.
Yes. Oh, that's right. That is the correct, not
the right way.
The left way.
The left way. Yeah, there we go.
A humanistic way.
Yeah.
A humanistic way.
Best wishes to everybody. Stay healthy, and we'll talk again very soon, next Sunday, if not before.
Okay, this has been the Sunday Show on Here Be Monsters Radio. Thank you for listening. We'll be back at 6 p.m. next Sunday. Join us. Good night, everybody.